come together.
Thanks for listening to the KC Morning Show.
Oceans strong in your family.
Force is strong in my family.
Asher, what you have done.
Father has it. I have it. My sister has it.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father. He was the best star pilot in the galaxy.
This is where the fun begins.
And a cunning warrior.
My brother Anakin! I loved you!
And he was a good friend.
There's something about this boy.
There's so many. Do they all have a system of planets?
Most of them.
Has anyone been to them all?
Not likely.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
I want to be the first one to see them all.
Are you an angel? They're the most beautiful creatures in the universe.
Have I ever seen you again?
I saw my mother. She's suffering, Padme. Stay with me, bro. I won't lose you, Padme.
Change your hair.
Same jacket.
I think you just can't bear to let a gorgeous guy like me out of your sight.
Wasn't all bad, was it? Some of it was good.
You have your moments. Not many of them, but you do have them.
Pretty good.
The Jedi were real.
I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. The Force, the Jedi.
I'll not leave you here. I've got to save you.
You already have. Look, you were right about me. Tell your sister you were right.
4th be with you, my KC morning hoes. It's Star Wars Day, and y'all know in this family, we take that very, very seriously. So on the show today, quite possibly my favorite interview, hangout, geek out, fanboy session with the great Tom Kane, one of the greatest voice actors of all time. You've heard him on the Powerpuff Girls. You heard him on Kim Possible, Smurfs movie. Y'all remember Angry Beavers? Used to love that show. But for me, I will always know Tom Kane as the voice behind so many of my favorite characters on The Clone Wars. I mean, this man got acting notes from George Lucas himself. I'm so jealous. I can't think of a better way to spend your Star Wars Day than with me, Scott Parks, and the great Tom Kane. And when we get done with this, go watch The Bad Batch on Disney Plus. It's like the spiritual successor to The Clone Wars. And I say that not just to plug a Star Wars, but also because Tom Kane, he doesn't do this anymore. He suffered a stroke a few years back. In fact, the project that you're going to hear about in this interview, come to find out, it was The Bad Batch. Didn't know that years and years ago, because Disney keeps things very much under lock and key. But yes, one of the last featured credits, at least as of now, from Tom Kane is in The Bad Batch. So go check that out. Rate, review, subscribe, do that thing you do. Kansas City. Back in your feeds on Monday. It is a good day to be a Kansas Cityan, especially on Star Wars Day. My name's Hartzell. We will see you in the morning. Bye.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
The KC Morning Show.
We are still waiting for Tom Kane to get here. He is stuck in traffic. And it may be apropos.
No, it's making it worse because I keep sweating.
That Hartzell over here, who is a gigantic Tom Kane fan.
Oh, God.
And super Star Wars fanatic, has never met Tom Kane before.
Nope. I knew he lived here.
He does live here.
I knew that part.
I've been to his house.
Oh, shut up. Really?
It's very nice.
Oh, I bet it is.
By the way, in his basement, they have, because he's got a lot of kids, he's adopted like 5 million children. So they have like a little playground in the basement, and one of the play stations is, and it's at least 6 feet tall, is a gigantic TIE fighter.
Oh, my God.
In the basement.
Oh, God. You gotta stop, man.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and stop.
You're starting to sweat there?
I'm starting, my heart's, I
Where
can feel
the heartbeat. Where is he? I got my phone ready to go. We're going to record it when he walks
in. Oh, my God, he's here.
Okay, here
we go. Oh, my God, he's here.
I'm rolling.
Oh, boy. Hello, Mr. Kane. Can I leave the mic? I got to get off this mic.
Hello,
Hello
sir.
Hi.
My name is Hartzell, and I am a Jewish fan. I just wanted you to know, I actually got the Yoda done.
Tom, sit down over here for a second, will you?
Hi, Tom Kane. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Tom Kane.
Grab a microphone.
And he's got
grab your headphones.
And he's got a Chili Pepper shirt on, so I know we're friends.
Let's freak him out. Are you ready?
Okay.
No. You got to ease me into this. Come on, man.
You look good, by the way. Hi.
Well, thank you.
It's good to see you. Let's start with Admiral Akbar.
God, okay.
The forest moon of Endor will be in range with all power to the forward shields. It's a trap!
I just got to hear it's a trap.
Now, give me your can.
Yeah, apparently I had to get a can.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what this is for.
Well, you'll see here.
Mr. Kane, so please tell
little
me.
Little metallic sound.
Hello, I'm C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations. And this is my counterpart, R2-D2. Shut up, R2, I'm on the radio. Oh, dear, he never listens.
Oh, he got the old dear.
So when you're actually recording those, Tom, do you use just a can for that?
No, but many years ago, like, geez, 20 years ago, one of the engineers came down from Skywalker Sound, which is up in Marin, and he was explaining, they call it the Sound Bible, but they basically have detailed instructions to replicate every sound. So there's a certain way they tweak, you know, Vader.
Sure.
There's a different way that they tweak 3PO. There's a different way, you know, all that stuff. And so I picked up an empty Coke can and started doing that. And he just kind of looked at me and he just went, Thank you. You just negated my entire career.
Somebody just wrote in, maybe you should have Tom sign your arm, and since you're such a fan, get his autograph tattooed onto your arm.
I don't know about
arm.
That.
We got the Sharpie.
That sounds extreme.
I've got this.
Someone did that, though, one time.
Did they really?
Pulled up pants leg, had I think it was Clone Wars for Yoda.
I was about to talk about that.
And I signed it, and I honestly didn't even think of what he I just thought he wanted to sign it because he's walking around with no pants, you know, shorts. And sure enough, 3 hours later, he comes back and pulls the bandage off, and I went, Oh,
wow. That's what you did with that.
Okay.
Well, it is crazy that this is even happening. I was cleaning out some stuff at the house, and I have a copy of all 7 seasons of The Clone Wars.
Oh, yes.
And I have it signed by Dave Filoni.
Oh, yeah. I just recorded another one about 2 hours ago, so, yeah.
Well, hold on. You recorded another what?
Literally a couple hours ago.
This is stupid. Oh, my God, this is amazing.
Empire at War, as the planet Ryloth falls under attack, Jedi Master Anakin Skywalker, you know, that.
Oh, I know all about. This is amazing. Because that's why that show was so innovative and ahead of its time. The bringing back the newsreel feel and then going into it with
that was straight from George. He always said that Star Wars was just a Western in space. That's how he grew up, you know, listening to, you know, the Lone Ranger and stuff. And so he said he wanted a crawl at the beginning. Because kids, again, everyone thought he was nuts. I mean, really, we were like, why do you want to crawl? You know, a recap on every show and such a weird voice. And he said, well, because kids can't read fast enough to follow a crawl. I want to hear it. And he just said, can you do something like the old radio dramas? I said, like, you know, Superman or, you know, and he goes, yeah. And I went, come with us to those thrilling days of yesteryear at the Lone Ranger. And he's like, bingo, you're good. Got it.
So, how do you get into this? Is this something you were just as a child? You just did voices, or
I mean, I had, you know, I was the poster child for ADD before they had a name for it, right. and now I get paid for it. Yeah, I channeled it into, you know. I mean, my first grade teacher, Mrs. Arnold, no joke, tied me to my chair with jump ropes. On many occasions, because I literally couldn't sit still.
Well, that's a way to do it. That's a way to go about it.
Well, so how can I get attention while I'm tied to a chair in third grade? Talk. Oh, yeah. And I would make funny voices and make people laugh. And so I was like, okay, I can do something. So,
are there any voices, any characters you just kind of enjoy? Not more than others, because I'm sure you love them all. But is there any that you really just... You like doing it when you get a chance to talk?
Oh, well, a lot of historical things. You know, I like, I was JFK in the making of Forrest Gump.
Congratulations. How does it feel to be an All-American? Congratulations. How do you feel?
I got to pee.
I believe he said he had to go pee. You know,
if you go to the World War II Museum, I've known Tom Hanks a little bit off and on for years. And he knew I did all these things. So they needed to recreate some historically accurate voices, for the World War II Museum. So if you go to the World War II Museum, I'm Winston Churchill, I'm Edward R. Murrow,
oh, man.
And I'm Adolf Hitler.
Oh, the old trifecta.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Das was ihr Mantos in der Stunde ungeheiligt nicht ist mir Arbeit. Das was ist...
You know, something like that.
This is excellent. This is
and
amazing.
And Churchill, of course, if the British Empire should last for 1,000 years, this will still be England's finest hour.
This
is Edward R. Murrow coming to you live from London. You know, as the Blitz continues in its third month, the people of England are, you know.
Do you have 45 more minutes for him to geek out?
Yeah,
on you?
Sure. Yeah.
My day just got wide open.
Watching your reaction, and I can only imagine what it's like for Tom, warms my heart.
I can tell you, right, the first time I experienced Star Wars was the re-release in 97. My dad took me and my twin. I remember
Tom
like
and I
it
remember
yesterday.
When it first came out.
Well, yeah. Funny little thing.
We got to get to break, so quick. Go ahead.
When the movie trailer came out for the re-release in theaters, it was all you saw was a little television, and you heard for 25 years you've seen Star Wars. Well, that was also me. So what you hear
was it really?
Yeah,
for 25 years you've seen Star Wars like this, and now
bomb, 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 you know.
I have that commercial saved on my laptop right now. I'm not even kidding.
You're kidding me. That's hilarious.
I love watching you geek out, man. It takes me back to when I was a little
kid. It's fun.
Feels like home. I love it.
All right. Tom Kane, the great Tom Kane. is, and we've only touched on the voices.
I'm exhausted.
We haven't done, don't do it yet. We haven't done Morgan Freeman. Mm. We haven't done Yoda.
My 9-year-old son's in the room. You said the great Tom Kane, and he got this funny frown on his face. Like, what? Ooh, you talking about him? My dad?
Tom Kane joins us in studio with Hartzell. I'm Scott Parks on KMBC.
Most impressive.
The KC Morning Show.
All right, welcome back. We'll do Festivus Friday coming your way right at 5 o'clock.
Your thoughts betray you, young Skywalker. There is a sister. You have a twin sister. And now your betrayal is complete. If you will not be turned to the dark side, then perhaps she will.
That's about as close as I can get.
That's pretty good.
My Vader
sucks. That's pretty good.
I'm pulling all this audio, Scott.
James Earl Jones just retired.
I'm pulling this audio.
Oh, I wish.
The great Tom Kane is joining us in studio.
The great Tom Kane.
The voice of Yoda. The voice of Admiral Akbar.
Yularen.
Admiral Yularen.
For those who really
the opening narrator in the Clone Wars. A few other random characters throughout 3PO. The series. Yeah, well, that's actually, 3PO is how I started working for Lucasfilm. It was back in the late 90s, and nobody had any idea what these weird computer games were. That's just silly. Who's going to do that? And so they were like, there's no way we're going to fly a producer to London to record Anthony Daniels for this weird thing that no one thought was ever going to go anywhere.
Was that for Shadows of the Empire?
Yeah. I think so.
Gotcha.
As far as I know, I've been in almost every Star Wars video game. That's what they tell me. That I'm the only one that...
what your paycheck tells you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But the... we all do this. Everybody that's in radio and stuff, when you get headphones on the first time, you play. You're just like, you want to hear how it sound like. Ooh, I can sound like, Darth Vader. So, I was new to the business, and I'm still literally pooping myself because I've got a script in front of me that has Lucasfilm Limited on it, and I'm going, how the heck did a boy from Prairie Village get here?
Did they send you that stuff under like lock and key, or
they bring it in and they take it away?
Oh,
now if it's a TV show, they'll email it to me, and it's coded. It's encrypted, and there's a password and stuff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if it's a feature film, no, I have to go back. I have to go there and go to the Disney backlot or the
Disney box. They fly you out to Los Angeles. They hand you the script. You record it, and then you leave. And
yes.
And didn't you tell me one time you only see the parts that you're in?
Yes.
Yeah.
They will make there might be anywhere from 10 to 15 people in the room doing various, dying stormtroopers and aliens and stuff. And like when I recorded Akbar for the last one, they're just like, okay, everybody go take a break and get out of here. And Tom, you hang out here. And I'm going, oh, am I fired? Or, what's going on? And all of a sudden in walks, Ryan Johnson, the director. And I'm like, what? And they're like, oh, well, we're going to do the Akbar stuff. Well, I didn't even know there was any Akbar stuff.
None of us did. And it was awesome.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. And, they've got your script has got your name watermarked on it. And they have a security guard. The room you're in is big enough to hold like a, 30-piece orchestra. It's a theater, but no chairs. They just have folding chairs. But instead, it's just us. So they have some guy that's sitting under the screen, but he's looking at us. We're looking at the screen. His job is to stare at us. And if you happen to pick up your cell phone to call your wife and it's pointed at the screen, suddenly you get a little tap on the shoulder and he reaches out and takes it out of your hand because signed a paper saying he can do that.
This is fascinating.
And
fascinating.
And God help you.
Are you happy?
I am thrilled right now. I am thrilled.
But no, so I was just goofing around and I was reading C-3PO lines. And what I didn't know was the whole backstory that, and they recorded some of it. And the director went back up to Skywalker Ranch, walked in with a Walkman, played 15 seconds of it for George. And George apparently was like, what? And he goes, that's not Anthony. Well, okay, who the heck is that? Well, that's Tom. He lives in L.A., so we thought maybe we'd use him for this video game thing, this computer game thing. And he goes, okay, yeah, that's fine.
From the text line, I am loving listening to the Hartzell-gasms.
Not wrong at all.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
The KC Morning Show.
I got nothing left, Scott. I'm exhausted.
One of the highlights of my day
Oh, man.
Is going to be when I had to leave the studio for a second, ran back to the back office, and I walked by, and all I see is Hartzell with his head in the palm of his hand like this, smiling like this, staring at Tom Kane. And I'm like, I go, you know what? Today's a good day.
I just need to start bringing my kids in here so they can hear all this praise and adulation.
Yes. You got references, my friend. You definitely got references.
Well, no, Scott and I were just talking about, you know, my son just kind of sitting there with headphones on playing on an iPad, and he's like, couldn't care less. But I'm like, no, I'm an accountant. He doesn't care. This is what dad. Well, although I must say, it was a few years back, the one time I saw all my older kids, I've got a bunch of kids, that were just drop dead stunned. Is the doorbell rang, and my, at that time, 12-year-old daughter ran to the door, and I told him, I said, yeah, we got some friends coming over, you know, you can hang or not or whatever. And she opens the door, and she comes walking in, and two of my other kids kind of look up, and they're literally, all their mouths just were like, because it was Mark Hamill. It was Luke Skywalker and his wife, Mary Lou, and their daughter, Chelsea. And
was this in L.A.? Or
yeah, it was L.A. So they were just, although Mary does come to town. They do come to town once in a while. They don't publicize it because she has relatives that live near
you
somewhere.
You bring him here.
If they come in, I will
my hands to myself.
If he'll do it, I'll do it. He's a wonder. He's so not what people think. He's hilarious. He's wacky. He's a lot more visible. And he does like talk shows and comedy things. You know,
he's a voice actor.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's one of the few that belongs in voiceover. His Joker,
one of the best.
He did
of
Joker
all time.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
It was so good that I was told that they were considering using him for the Joker that ultimately went to Heath Ledger just because of what a ridiculously cool performance it was.
No way.
And then they went with Heath, and that was the right thing to do because was just unmatchable. But yeah, I mean, he'll walk into a room and you know, everyone has this image of, you know, Luke Skywalker being this kind of dour, you know.
And demure.
Yeah. No, he'll walk in, sit down at a grand piano and start belting out show tunes.
Really?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Wow.
No, he's great. He's right. Very nice.
Let's do a couple more voices.
And can you work in Hartzell in some of these?
We'll get that when we do Morgan Freeman later.
I need that on the record.
and you're not my voice puppet.
Oh, but, I love
but
it.
You know you love it.
You know
how
I love
about
it.
A little Woodhouse.
A little. He's a character from a TV show called, what is it again? Oh, Archer. Yes. He's everyone's favorite 86-year-old heroin addict. My favorite was he walks in and he's kind of weaving back and forth. He's got a tray of cocktails. And he is. He's supposed to be a heroin addict.
Yep.
And,
he is.
Yep.
Yeah. And Archer goes, oh my God, Woodhouse, are you stoned again? And he goes, tripping balls.
Tripping bolts.
Are they all pretty decent people?
Yeah, voiceover people almost entirely are nice folks because, and there's just a really simple reason, there's nothing that I do that they can't find a replacement for in about 2 weeks. As much as I enjoy what I do, and it's like, it really is a job where the reason you keep doing it is because
you're nice.
You're good and you're nice.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy who was a DJ from Mississippi who became known for his mimicry. Yeah, he would do a lot of cartoon characters, and darned if he wasn't fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And when Casey Kasem stopped doing "Oh, like Hey Scoob," you know, when he stopped doing Shaggy, you know, they needed a new Shaggy. And you know, it was the, you know, 15 years ago or more. So the internet was around enough and people were like, yeah, there's some DJ that's doing it all the time and he's just phenomenal. So they flew him out and hired him. So the guy was, you know, suddenly he was doing Shaggy. Well, the only problem was he was a good parrot, couldn't act his way out of a paper bag.
Oh.
And we'd sit there in a session and they just would have to feed him lines. They would just say this, and the director would read it, and he'd just copy it.
So he wasn't a voice actor. He was a voice.
He was a voice parrot.
Yeah.
And but this guy had a job for freaking life if he'd have just been less than a—and I'm not saying his name because he's an epic D.
Right.
he started, I mean, and this is a voiceover guy. He started right off the bat telling, well, he needed to be picked up at LAX in a limousine.
Oh, one of those times.
He had to be, because, you know, I'm the voice of Shaggy.
A
I'm
Scott like, Parks type.
I'm like, dude, I'm freaking Yoda. I don't get a limousine. Who the hell?
Yes, Tom.
Who the heck are you?
Yes,
and I'm Yoda. I don't get a limousine.
So they, Tom. He just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And what really, the fork, stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Frank Welker, who was the original voice of Freddy on Scooby-Doo,
yep.
And he's still working. He's probably in his late 60s. He started Freddy at like 18, and he's Jabberjaws. He's a million different things. But what Frank's mostly known for is he does all the animal noises. All, growing up, the Benji movies.
Oh,
every little dog noise you heard in the Benji movies was Frank Welker. If you see a commercial that's got a chittering chipmunk in it, that's Frank Welker. So, but he, again, the nicest human being ever.
Yeah.
Frank is just a prince. He's sitting there, and of course now, he was in his early 60s, and his, he's trying to do Freddie, which is a higher pitched voice, and he's like, some days it's hard, and the director's like, nah, you're getting a little too raspy. Can you do it? And then this from Mississippi goes, hey, if the old guy can't hack it, let me try. I can do better than that. And Jess Harnell, who is Yakko or Wacko on the Animaniacs and a million other things, came out of his chair and had to be restrained. He was about to deck him.
Because there's a fine line between copying and acting.
Yeah. And respect.
And respect, absolutely.
But this guy had a gig that would have lasted for decades. And they said, you know what? You need to go back to Mississippi and never set foot in this town again.
Good.
And they did. They fired him.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to save Yoda for the end.
Do you want penguins or do you want Shawshank?
I want Shawshank.
I first met Andy Dufresne in the summer of 1932. He was the whitest beep I've ever met. He was a good man, convicted wrongly, as so many said they were, but I believed him.
Oh, oh my God. Tell me that is not.
And you can tell Miss Daisy I'm not driving her wrinkly white butt around anymore.
Right now, my father is screaming in his car, as am I internally.
Tell him the story about the Morgan Freeman credit card commercial.
Oh, well,
that's one of my favorite stories that you
well,
got.
Well, I've dummied things for him.
For Morgan Freeman?
For Morgan Freeman, yeah. I did all the Visa stuff for years, but it was him. But I would record it first so they could edit to it and cut to it and stuff.
And kind of pace it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so he came in one day, and they were petrified of him not knowing that they're like, they would never, don't play it, don't nothing. They would just have him come in and read it. And in their head, they'd be like, well, we need to go a little faster, a little slower to match the thing Tom did. And one day there was some filling in engineer or something. And he goes, well, let me play you back what you did. And you can, match that. And he goes, I didn't do anything. And he's like, well, no, I'll play you the scratch track. And he goes, I've never done a scratch track for Visa. And he's like, well, no, here. And he plays it. And about then the producers walk in and they're just going, oh, God, oh, God. Because they thought he might get mad or something.
Right.
And he's just such a cool guy that he was like, so who the hell is that? And they said, well, it's this guy named Tom Kane. And, we just have him do it. And he goes, well, why the hell don't you just use him?
Yeah, and they did.
Well, for one, yeah, I did. He was in a car accident.
You're saying that Morgan Freeman lip-synced you? Essentially?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you couldn't see the lips, but he paced things.
But like in the commercial, like if it was on a radio show or a station, it was Tom Kane.
Maybe it's the extra effort. Maybe it's this. Maybe she just wanted it a little bit harder. But Visa, it's everywhere you want to be.
Well, I got his son. I fooled his son Alphonse. I had just recorded some. I have a deal with his agent. I talked to years ago because there are a few guys in the country that try to sell themselves as cheap Morgan Freeman, which I would never do. I mean, like, first of all, I don't want to get sued for a few hundred dollars.
There's a market for Morgan Freeman.
There's a few guys that, fortunately, they're not very good. But I just did a couple that were on the Ellen show and Jimmy Kimmel. They use me every couple months. If you think that's Morgan Freeman, that's actually me on the Ellen show.
Is that right?
But the this guy was literally sending out emails to ad agencies saying, don't spend $1 million on Morgan Freeman. I'll do it for $100. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, are you so stupid. And
you can get in big trouble for
Oh, yeah. And anyway, his agent, I get a phone call from William Morris, you know, in Beverly Hills, thinking that's me. And I'm like, no, I would never do that. What? First of all, do you think I charge $100 for anything? and second of all, why wouldn't disrespect the man that way? It's right. Like, that's just awful. And he's like, he goes, well, we thought it was. But anyway, I said, no. I said, here's the deal. I only do things that get him work.
Right.
I do trailers for his movies. I do commercials where they're using me to pitch the client on spending $500,000 on Morgan Freeman. You know, so I'm like, that's all I'm really doing is making a few $100s so that they can pitch someone to pay him a few $100,000. And the agent was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
All right, we got to get to the break. The great Tom Kane. But before we go, can you say something like in Morgan Freeman's voice? I love being on the air with my main man, Hartzell.
If there's one thing that I found is as true as the sunrise, it's that I like being on there. With Hartzell.
We'll leave it at that.
I can't talk.
From the text line.
If you say that you
Tom,
are mine,
you're not a voice puppet. You know that, right?
Oh, thank you.
But they want to know, can Tom do some Disney stuff for us?
Well, I don't do many Disney characters. I've just never, you know, they're a company that has had their sort of stable of people.
You say that, but you're in Star Wars.
That's right. Well, you are a Disney
well,
guy.
Well, now they are. Yeah, I guess it is. But you know, gosh, I guess got good Goofy. You know, the guy who's now Mickey Mouse was just here a couple of months ago. He came over for dinner, but he's, he's like late 20s.
The guy 30s. Who does Mickey Mouse is in his 20s now.
Now, yeah, and he worked at Hallmark.
No way.
Yeah, he would get lots of laughs and attention at his phenomenal Mickey Mouse, and somebody, you know, like put a chunk of it online, someone at Disney, when Wally was getting too old to do it. Someone said, well, there's this guy on the interwebs that sounds just like Mickey Mouse, and they flew him out there and signed him up.
You know, that's how Journey got their new lead singer.
Arnel Pineda or something like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He would.
Isn't he an Asian guy or Filipino?
He's Filipino.
Yes.
And he would put videos of himself singing Journey songs on the internet
on
YouTube.
Yeah. Isn't he?
Oh, he's spot on. I've seen him. He's spot on.
But question, is that acting or just copying and pasting the songs he sings? He does a good Steve Perry.
But that's my, that's what I do. That's my career. I mean, there's some voiceover guys, most of them, I would say, they do try to come up with a new spins on things, SpongeBob, Tom Kenny. Most of the voiceover guys in the industry are stand-up comics, and they got into voiceover because if you want to get anywhere on a national show, if you want to be on The Late Show or Kimmel or whatever, you have to live in L.A. If you're a stand-up comic, I mean, yeah, you tour, but you live there, you have an agent there, and that same agent also reps people for commercials, movie trailers, cartoons, mm-hmm. video games. So when they find out they do all these wacky voices, they just start sending these stand-up guys out to, for auditions, and voila, that's almost everybody. The only person I know that wasn't a stand-up before he got discovered is Jim Cummings,
who's
Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. And he was working at a Hollywood video, and
an agent was just
joking around. There's TV screens around the ceiling, and something came on from a Disney movie, and it was Winnie, and he said, "Oh, bother," did whatever, And about the fifth time she heard him doing this, she goes, "Do you have an agent?" And he goes, "For what?"
This is Guy to Video Store.
From the text line, real quick.
That's excellent.
Somebody better get Hartzell a new pair of pants.
Yep.
This is awesome. Hartzell has just melted into a giant puddle under the carpet.
How awesome is this, huh?
You guys geeking out on Tom is actually kind of cute.
Aww.
I always love when Tom is on, but this one has been priceless. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
And Tom, we get this one every time you're on, so answer it as honestly as you can.
Yeah, sure.
Tom, my daughter is desperately wanting to be an actress, mm-hmm. not a voice actress, an actress. Do you have any advice for her?
Well, first of all, I would need to know the age of your daughter. If it's a kid, I would say don't do it, because she'd be surrounded by a bunch of really icky people that would
have thoughts about her that you don't want anybody having thoughts about your daughter.
Okay. Is that prevalent, really?
Yeah, more so with guys.
No way.
The casting couch is mostly run by men now, and so your 12-year-old, 13-year-old boys are
Let's assume she's 18.
Then she'd have to find out if she's any good. You know, take some classes, especially improv. There's nothing that'll help you succeed as an actor, an actress, or a voiceover person better than just lots of improv, because you have to think on your feet and you're in front of people flying by the seat of your pants. You're going to fail. You're going to make an idiot out of yourself. You're going to do all kinds of things. And if you get used to the point where you don't care, you know, you got 30 people in front of you watching you screw up or succeed or whatever, after a while, you don't care anymore. And that's one of the things that people find so hard. They get terrified. They're like, they go to an audition and there's 12 people going, okay, read this like a French chef, you know, and you don't give your best performance. But yeah, improv classes, whatever. And again, it depends what kind of acting. If she wants to do theater, like live theater, well, that exists in 50 cities. She'd go to Atlanta. She could do it, you know, all kinds of places. If she wants to do film, she's got to go to Atlanta or L.A.
I hope I made your day.
This is awesome.
I hope he made your day.
I could stay?
Before we get to... You can stay as long as you want.
Oh, right.
Before we get to the news, Sean Connery.
Oh, there was a time when I met Sean Connery, and he made me try to do his voice because he said he knew I did, and other people try it all the time, and it sucks. So I leaned over and whispered in his ear, "It's a bit of Sean." And he stood back and he goes, "It's not bad. I've heard better."
And before we get to the news, we've promised it all out.
Oh, yes.
The great Yoda.
"Greetings, Hartzell. Search the Force and a tremor I have felt. It was you. Your ego just busted a planet."
Spot on, Yoda. Spot on, Yoda.
wake up alone.
If there's one thing that I found is as true as the sunrise, it's that I like being on there with Hartzell.
The KC Morning Show.
Thank you.
the KC Morning Show.